don't know what you've heard about G, but he's with the sweet spot 1-3. I'd give my good leg to heal Kyrie. It's the afternoon J-U-B. I don't know what you've heard about G, but he's with the sweet spot 1-3. He loves Nico like Lando loves his beans.
Yes.
It's the afternoon J-U-B.
That's right. 2:39 on a Tuesday. You heard the theme. That means we need to say hello to our good friend, the Marconi winner, the Texas Radio Hall of Famer. It is 1/3 of those Courage Boys in the morning. It is George Dunham. Jub, do you read me?
Oh, yeah. Got you loud and clear. What a special, special day this is. I'm on my way to the golf course. I'm proud to be a part of this broadcast team, and I can't wait to see what happens today in the 2025 April Fool's Open.
I don't know if we're going to get another Jill miss 3-inch putt where you fall out of your chair laughing maniacally, but there's always laughs to be had because of the quality of golf we're about to witness out at Prairie Lakes. And out of curiosity, who's your horse? Who are you feeling good about? I know Corby installed Mino as the favorite, which
yeah,
I don't know how I feel about that.
I think the sweet spot should be excited. I think Mino is definitely in the hunt. And don't sleep on Deddy, because I think he has played more golf than he lets on.
Oh no!
Deddy alarm.
I think he and Brian Jones go out and shoot quite a bit.
You all right, brother?
Hi, buddy. You're up.
Yeah, they go play all the time. Look out for Ryan Baldwin.
Correct. Okay.
I think he's got a shot in this thing. Yeah, I would say those are the three favorites, and then there's always Elf, who, again, I think he's played more golf than he lets on, and I think he's very capable.
Get up!
Now you say nice things about Ham and EA, the other two contestants.
Ham is my favorite contestant in the competition. I love Ham so much. And I think EA is hilarious, but I don't think either one of them will win.
So EA shoots a plus 50 last year on three holes. And now, Justin, you told me that he's dealing with an injury heading into this one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been dealing with gout for the last 6 months, and I think we're mid-flare-up.
Uh-oh.
Because it sounds like he had to be nearly carried to his car the other day.
Oh, no.
He's in a little worried how this is going to go today, but he's a gamer. He's going to be out there.
So will Creighton have the office chair just pushing him around the course today?
He might have to be. Or Creighton's going to be having him in a wheelbarrow, maybe.
Okay, listen.
Jumping him on the tee box.
About that in EA, gout is nothing to laugh at, right? We're all going to say that.
Yeah, no, we're not laughing.
Yeah.
Right.
Not at all.
No
disrespect. Okay, I'm not either, but I do. What I'm about to say is kind of funny about gout, and as it relates to EA. As I told my coworkers this morning, I said, yeah, apparently EA he's dealing with something, that's gout related with his foot. And I said, is he the youngest guy to ever have gout? And I said, I just guess. I said, I think EA is in his 20s.
No. He's mid 30s.
And Gordo says, are you sure he's in his 20s? I said, well, no. But, I mean, he's not like 60. And he said, well, okay, I could believe he's 28. I could also believe he's 54. So I don't know how old EA is.
Well, I will admit this on the air. I, too, deal with gout from time to time. It's a hereditary thing. It'll get too much brown drink, it'll flare up. But, you know, you just fight through it. I don't need to be pushed around in an office chair.
I think EA gets it from eating too many organ meats. I think he's just eating liver
just
and
pounding liver and onions.
Yeah. Isn't it a permanent condition?
Tripe.
You can't get rid of it.
Yeah, you can't get rid
of it. I think it just has flare ups where it'll be worse one day, better than that.
Take some cherry pills, it'll go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm not laughing at it. I'm just, okay, have you ever heard of somebody who had gout in their 20s?
I didn't get mine till like about a decade ago, so
Cray had gout, if we're talking about other wheels off ticket people that had gout.
Okay.
Okay,
but he might have been in his
30s. I don't know much about it. I don't know much about it.
It's not fun.
No, I don't think it is. No.
It's not. I could have seen me having gout if I was fully capable of.
I could see me having gout. Maybe I have it.
Now you would know. Trust me, you would know. Yeah, your whole toe joint flares up. It's not fun. Well, you said something this week that got Monty's attention, and I think this is a hell of a topic.
Okay.
So I heard during Muse in the News yesterday, y'all were talking about a fella who got tumped over in his kayak and passed away. I don't remember, but you guys were talking about kayaks versus canoes, and then you issued the HSO that the canoe is the most whip vessel.
Yeah.
Hot sports opinions.
So I've compiled my list of top five most whip vessels, and I'd like to compare my top five to your top five. So we know canoe is on your list. What else is on your list of most whip vessels?
I'll go number five, paddle boat. The concept seems fun. Hey, let's just ride a bike and, propel ourselves on the water, but they're not very efficient. You can't do much in them. I mean, you can fish out of them, but yeah, they seem to get blown around by the wind. They don't steer well.
Can't throw a trolling motor on one of those boys?
No. I mean, after about 5 minutes, you want to put some sort of engine on it because you pedaling and then using this little whip handle as you're steering that's a whip vessel for sure. Number five.
I had that as an honorable mention, but did not make my list.
Okay. Do you want me to keep going or you want to give your number?
Yeah, let's hear your whole list.
Okay. Number four, the Amphicar. It's a piece of junk car. It's a two-door convertible that doesn't do much for you on I-35 and it barely floats. And once you get it in the water, yeah, it's got an engine. But again, I think it only goes like 12 miles an hour.
Didn't LBJ have one of those?
I had to look that up. That looks awful.
Yeah. I mean, it's a kind of a funny bit, the fact that you can just drive the car right into the water and keep going. But what a whip vehicle and what a whip vessel that is. So it's number four on my list. Number three may be controversial with some of our P1s because they may have a boat like this. I think the cigarette boat, the long, sleek, go-fast racing boat, it's fine for racing, but if you go out there on the lake and you're driving 70 and, I don't know, you're trying to overcompensate for maybe something else, I think that's a whip boat. They're loud. They make a big wake. And, again, you can't do anything out of it. You can't fish. You can't ski behind one of those things.
You're definitely going to send the guy tubing pulled behind your boat 20 feet in the air.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I understand the need for speed and – I think they look cool, but I think that's a whip vessel. I'm putting that number three, the cigarette boat. And I'm going to go way back old school, the 8-man Confederate submarine known as the Hunley Sub.
What?
That went 7 miles an hour with a hand crank prop. A lot of soldiers, unfortunately, met their demise at the bottom of the Atlantic and the Gulf in the Hunley Sub. So I'm going to put that at number two. And then the canoe. It tips easy. Again, you try to fish out of it. It's made of aluminum. You make the slightest movement, and it sounds like a cannon just went off in the canoe. And then they just they are pretty efficient. You get two people paddling the right way.
Yeah, but you have to have the right two people.
Coordinated, or it's gonna go in circles. So, it is interesting about the canoe is as much as they tip, and I think most modern dudes who get in one somehow end up tipping them over. But if you watch movies where they have, Native Americans using canoes, they never tip. You ever notice that?
I mean, that's what they use. They were good at
it. Last of the Mohi, yeah, but
they had skills.
Yeah, and they thought that was the best vessel offered at the time. They would have been better off with a 17-foot Glastron
with a Mariner 250 behind it.
I don't remember ever seeing them in the Old West on a pontoon.
Yeah, I didn't. The pontoon, I didn't want to mention too much because.
They're fun, though.
They're fun.
A party barge is fun,
yeah,
George.
Yeah, you're partying on those.
You can jump off the side. You can pee off the side.
I can't do it yet. It's also kind of old man boat if you go
sure.
pontoon. But, you know, to each his own.
All right,
so that's my list.
I took a more broad form of the word vessel and meant just any kind of mode of transportation.
Okay.
So anything that takes you from point A to point B, because on my list, at number five, I have the tandem bike. It's kind of like the canoe or the paddle boat where you're just relying on the person behind you.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times, especially if you're in front, you feel like you're doing a whole lot and you look back and that person just taking in the sights and not meeting you halfway.
Yeah, much kind like the paddle boat, the concept seems fun, but that's not fun.
Number four, I have a donkey ride because there's no way that donkey is into taking your big ass around Grand Canyon or whatever. That donkey is so beaten by its whole existence. And I feel bad the whole time I'm ruining this donkey's day.
And there's no urgency at all. You're not going
to
go.
No, they're not like horseback
clip.
Where maybe you can get them going, you know, 20 miles an hour. You're just slowly riding a donkey up a mountain.
Yeah. Only Ham would enjoy something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He, has no problem ruining a donkey's day. At number three, from experience, I have the manual wheelchair. Anything that can be beaten by a 6-inch elevation, not a good mode of transportation. Necessary, I get it, but not efficient for your everyday person.
Can you get it up a curb?
I mean, if I have enough speed, I can kind of do a little bike jump on it, but
can't do an ollie.
No, if it's like 10 inches or more, I just turn around and go home.
Or if you took it at an angle,
maybe.
Does it matter?
Yeah, but there's also a 50-50 chance I just go flying out of the front of that thing and get full gout ankle.
Yeah.
At number two, I had to look up the name of this. It's that seesaw thing that's on the train tracks. Come to find out, it's
called
a hand car.
Brother, where out thou?
Yeah,
it's called a hand car, and that thing looks so beaten. You and this guy are both putting in maximum effort, and you have to hit a good rhythm, or you're not going to go anywhere. And I can't imagine doing that back in the day.
Haven't you always wanted to try one, though?
Yes. The cartoons made it look fun.
Yeah.
It looked
awful.
They
could make that thing haul on Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, but you're throwing your back out just to move 10 feet on a train track.
True.
And the last one looks beaten, and you don't really have any agency over how you're moving. If you're in a sidecar on a motorcycle, you are hating life.
You're just sitting there with a smile. Right.
You got a helmet that barely fits. Your life is in the rider's hands. And, if that guy wants to hot dog it, you're dead. Or at the best case scenario, you just look like a beta who has to just sit there and twiddle their thumbs while the guy next to you is riding a motorcycle.
If it hasn't been on TV or a movie, have you ever seen anyone?
I don't think so.
In real life, in a sidecar.
No, but I think that needs to be Gordon's next stop on his motorcycle journey. Is getting him a sidecar
that you could ride in,
or how about this, George? Riding a motorcycle, put a monkey on the sidecar.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
That would enhance.
It's a monkey!
He's got some goggles on, a scarf. He's flapping in the wind.
Now we're talking. For a monkey,
yeah,
it'd be great.
Yeah, he's got full uni. Yeah, no doubt.
So for a person, terrible.
I'm really surprised that unicycle or pogo stick did not crack the list, because it feels like a pogo stick is an impossible.
I thought we were just talking about watercraft vessels. That's why I stuck to water. I thought that's where we were going with this.
Ocean water.
Yeah.
What about the catamaran? Have you ever been on a catamaran, George?
Yeah, I think those things are awesome.
They're awesome, but they are very dicey.
I almost put a little sunfish sailboat on there. That just seems like a beating. Although I would love to learn. I don't know how to sail. I'd like to learn how to sail. But it seems like if you have those really small ones that the boom would swing around and hit you in the nuts or something. Yeah.
I mean, just the sailboats in general are bad because God gave us a way to replicate the wind,
or a dinghy.
And it's called an engine. So
yeah, it's called a MerCruiser 250.
That's right. We don't need to rely on the wind of the day.
All right, George, I will see you at the course. Let's do this again next week, my friend.
Boy, the wind's kicking up. This is going to be one heck of a championship this afternoon.
All right, we're just over an hour away. Why Today Doesn't Suck is next.